Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
On the phone with me for this segment, I have Laura Vorier. She is the author of a new book called The Pet Sitter's Tale, and she's a longtime professional pet sitter to the stars. First of all, thank you very much for joining me today, Laura. Really appreciate the time.
Thank you so much for having me on, Stephen. It's my pleasure.
Now, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm originally from Chicago. I moved out to Los Angeles in 2002 with dreams of being a makeup artist to the stars and celebrities in Hollywood, and accidentally fell into pet sitting and dog walking, and have been doing that ever since.
Well, tell us how you got into this pet sitting business. How did that evolve?
Well, accidentally, quite honestly, so I don't think I intended to be a pet sitter, even though that's what happened. I was working as a makeup artist on a studio lot for somebody who was an actress, and because I didn't have my union card to be a makeup artist, they asked me if I would walk her dog, and I said that I would, and so when I was walking the dog on the lot, out of a trailer came Paula Poundstone, who tapped me on the shoulder and said, "Hey, are you a professional dog walker?" And I turned around and said, "Yes, I am." And that's how it all got started.
And thus the journey began.
Correct. Absolutely.
Okay. What are some of the craziest instructions that you've ever received from a celebrity client?
Oh, good question. I love this question. So most of the craziest instructions involve feeding of their pets. So as you can imagine, they all want their pets to be fit and healthy and live long lives. So a lot of them feed their pets very specific diets. Some of them have their own chefs. They are on raw diets. They have organic food. So I think the craziest instruction I probably got was to sing to the dog while the dog was eating to help aid his digestion.
Sing to the dog. Are you a good singer?
I'm not. It probably did not help aid his digestion.
So now you said Paula Poundstone was instrumental in getting your pet business started, but how did you get a connection with other elite stars and walking their dogs?
Well, it just so happened that I was sort of at the beginning of this industry, you know, where people began to walk other people's pets professionally. So once I started, you know, walking Paula's dog, then other people kind of got word of it and said, "Hey, you want to walk my dog too?" And being in Hollywood, you just get that call where somebody said, "Hey, somebody gave me your name and referred me to you." And so it just happened that I started to get a lot of celebrities on my client list because I was really one of the few professional companies offering that service.
Okay, now I don't know if you can answer this question, but can you tell us about the temperament of Paula Poundstone's dog?
Oh, my God. I remember her dog. Her dog's name was Cal, and he was very high energy, and he was a puller on the leash. And he would get so excited when he saw me, I would actually cover my body and my face because he did a lot of jumping. I believe he was part kangaroo.
Part kangaroo? You don't know what type of dog it was.
He was a mix. He was a mix, and he was a huge dog, and he just loved to go on the walk, and he pulled so bad, and I kept trying to train him not to pull and not to pull, and I remember we tried harnesses and collars and commands, and he was just so exuberant and so excited to go on the walk. There was no calming him down. It didn't matter how much you walked him. He was still excited, just as excited at the end of the walk as he was at the beginning.
And that, and thus is why she got a pet sitter to walk her dog, so she didn't have to be pulled along behind herself, huh?
That's right. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. You got it. Exactly.
Now, are some of the Hollywood elites, are their dogs somewhat more snobby than other people's dogs? Do they warm up to you right away, or are they just snobby dogs from the start?
Never met a snobby dog. I mean, all of the dogs are just wonderful, slightly luckier than the average dog, but
right.
No, they're just wonderful. They're just wonderful. I really haven't had any snobby dogs at all. I mean, I love that question. You would think that maybe some of the fame and stardom would rub off on him, but no, dogs are just mostly happy-go-lucky, and whoever walks them, they're pretty happy with that.
So they don't take over their owner's personalities?
No, not too much. Thank goodness.
Yes. And what bit of advice would you give to anybody who wants to start their own pet care business?
I love this question because the pet care business is one of these businesses that don't require a big outlay of cash in the beginning. So anybody who's looking to start up a business who doesn't have, you know, a large amount of money to invest in a business from the start can really get going just by printing some business cards or making some flyers and just going door to door or to the local vet and letting the people know in your circle, your friends, family, relatives, and close friends that you're doing pet sitting and offering dog walking. And then I definitely recommend going to the local vets and telling the vets that you got a pet sitting and dog walking business and partnering with them so that they can be sure to hand out your information to their clients that are looking for pet sitters and dog walkers. It's that easy.
How many clients do you currently have, or can you tell me?
Oh, no, we have hundreds and maybe possibly even thousands on the list. So we do daily dog walking. We do basic obedience training. We do overnight stays in the client's home, and we do boarding at my house here. And so we do all these things, and there's about 15 people who are independent contractors who walk for the company. So at any one time, we've got probably at least 100 clients that are active.
So you have people that actually work for you in this expanding business.
Oh, absolutely. You kind of need to, because once you get going, everything is so spread out in LA. You're doing a lot of driving. So I also recommend to people that when you get going, I know it's tempting to say yes to every client, but what'll happen is you'll find yourself driving a lot to get from client to client. So if you make your geography too spread out, then you can only handle maybe 3 or 4 clients because you're driving so much. So kind of set that geography for yourself in a real tight parameter so that you can accommodate as many clients as possible.
Great. Now, you describe in your book kind of an odd run-in that you had with a pet psychic. Do you think that there are actually some people that are intuitive and can actually tell what pets are thinking?
Well, you know, absolutely. I believe in that. I believe that some people do have that ability to kind of talk to the animals, if you will. That particular psychic, I don't think so. But I think so. I mean, you see all these shows where people and the psychic is talking and connecting you with your lost relatives. I do think so to a certain extent. You know, pets communicate through their body language and their temperament, and so I think we can pick up a lot through the body language. This particular psychic seemed to think that she could tell an awful lot what the dog was saying. And, you know, it's up to the person who's listening to sort of discern if they think that's the truth or not, because honestly, you'll never really know.
Right. So that was one of your odd encounters. Do you have any other odd stories?
Oh, gosh. Yes, you know, I've had a lot of stories where someone will say to me, you know, my dog is really this or my dog is really that. And then once I get to know the dog, I think, well, you know, your dog's not really shy. And one of my favorite stories is I had a woman tell me that her dog had a very temperamental palate and the dog couldn't eat certain foods and the dog didn't like certain foods and the dog was a very finicky eater. And then, you know, I looked out in the backyard and the dog was eating its own poop. So oh. I said, God, it's not that finicky.
Yes. Okay, now how can a pet parent tell if they need to bring someone into their home to care for their dog or cat rather than having them boarded at a pet care facility?
You know, know, a lot of these pet care facilities, they have group settings for the dogs, and they try and put all the small dogs together and the big dogs together. But, you know, some dogs prefer people to other dogs. You know, I know my dog is very much a people person. He'd rather spend time on the couch snuggling than be in a room full of other dogs his size. So I think knowing your dog is key, but the great thing about what my service does is we go to the client's home and we provide that one-on-one experience for the dog. And that's a great experience for the dog because it gets that individualized attention. They're not competing for time with another dog. They're not worried about their place in the pack. They're not maybe thinking like, oh, that dog's a little aggressive. I don't like that dog. So I think you kind of tell your, you know, your own dog, you know, if your dog is happy-go-lucky and he loves other dogs, it might be a good alternative to having somebody come to the house. But most dogs really like that one-on-one attention, and they dig it when somebody comes just for them.
You mentioned in your book that you had a hard time finding good dog walkers to hire for your company. Now, what is it that you know now that you wish you knew then in terms of how to hire a good person?
Oh, well, I don't know if I know that much more. It seems to always be kind of a roll of the dice because people tell you what you want to hear, especially out in L.A. Not to judge a book by its cover would be sort of, I think, the first thing I learned. I mean, sometimes people come in and they look great on paper and they're saying the right things, but when you take them to the client meeting and the client has a big dog, you know, they're kind of cowering because they're like, oh my gosh, you know, I didn't realize I'd have to walk big dogs. And you're like, yeah, that's the job. So I just think really asking a lot about someone's experience and hearing what they're saying, as long as they're saying, you know what, I love dogs, I've had experience with dogs, I'm not fearful of dogs. Because if you hire someone who turns out to be a little fearful of dogs, the dog is going to pick up on that energy, and that's going to rub off on that dog. They're going to pick up on that energy of that fearfulness, and that's going to create a vicious cycle of, you know, the dog walker's a little bit fearful, and now the dog is a little fearful, and that's just not fun for anyone.
Now, you just put out a new book, The Pet Sitter's Tale. Are there any specific stories or just a gem that you can throw out to us that's included in that book?
Oh, so many, you know, breaking up dog fights, or the best story, which is very sad, but it's also kind of funny and poignant, is I was pet sitting for a dog who was quite elderly. He was 17 years old, and I had gotten so used to people realizing when it was time to put their pets to sleep that I had forgotten, you know, dogs can just, and they actually do just, pass away on their own given time. And I was pet sitting for this dog, Ralph, and he passed away while I was pet sitting for him, and it sent me into shock.
Yes, I bet.
Well, you can imagine, and it was just really, really sad circumstances. His owners had gone away for their daughter's wedding in Hawaii, and he had passed away the morning of the wedding, and I was sort of grappling with the choice of waiting to the next day after the wedding, or calling the day of the wedding and saying, hey, I've got some really sad news that, you know, your dog passed away.
So what did you do?
After sort of debating it and you know, wondering what should I do, I wound up calling them because ultimately I didn't know what I would do with the dog for 24 hours if I waited.
That might be problematic.
Yeah. I thought, oh my gosh, what's going to keep happening? This poor dog is laying here in the kitchen and he's passed away. And then it just became a big debacle after that because they said, oh my gosh, he can't be dead. No, he wouldn't do this to us. Can you take him to the vet? And he was a big dog, and I had a little car, and I couldn't lift him up. I couldn't get him in my car. You know, just like all of these things that kept happening. It just kept getting, like, more involved with trying to get the dog to the vet. So finally, I wound up taking the dog to the vet. A friend came and helped me get the dog in her van, and I took him to the vet, and he seemed to be stiffening up at that point to me, and I went and got the vet, and the vet came out, and I said to the vet, is he dad? And he looked at me and said, oh, yeah, he's dad. So I said, okay, well, I just want to be sure.
Yeah, no doubt about that.
So, yeah, I said, I'm not a doctor, but I'm like 99.9% sure.
Well, that's a great story. Laura Voyer, author of the new book, The Pet Sitter's Tale, a longtime professional pet sitter to the stars. Laura, where can we get your book?
Oh, I love that question, too. Okay, so you can buy it right on my website, which is thepetsitterstale.com, or on Amazon.
Okay, what about local bookstores?
They can order it from barnesandnobles.com. It's online there, and it is in some of the location. It's just out recently, so I'm still working on getting it on the shelves at the local bookstore. But if you have a local bookstore that you love going to, ask them for it, and they'll order it for you.
Okay, thank you very much, Laura, for spending some time with me today. Really appreciate it. Great interview.
Great to be on. Thank you so much.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.